Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Brad, we got some more news about Cosmic Rewind this week. And I know we haven't been doing our weekly Cosmic Rewind update, but it opens this Friday, so as it gets closer and closer to opening, I think there's going to be more and more things to talk about, I guess.
Well, so I don't know, dude. I think we're going to have something to talk about this week. We'll likely have something to talk about next week. After that, I don't anticipate a lot, because I'm going to be totally honest. I feel like this is going to be another one of those attractions that I'm going to try to be radio silent. You know, like, I've seen reviews of the attraction and things like that, and I haven't read them because I don't know that I want to have the whole thing spoiled for me.
And it's hard to be in this sphere and not see some of the spoilers about, like, cameos and stuff.
But yes.
My goal is to make my Cosmic Rewind experience as pure as your Rise of the Resistance experience was. If I can do that for myself, I will feel good about it.
Yeah, but in the meantime, there are things to cover that that won't spoil it, like Cosmic Rewind will have a virtual queue, which, I mean, you could have said Rise, because Sacre Rise bleu. Had one too.
It still does,
right?
Yeah.
Everyone is so surprised that there won't be a standby line and there will be a virtual queue instead. I mean, like, really, this is only news in that it's now official and we know how it's going to work.
Yeah.
Which is to say it's going to work, 95% like Rise of the Resistance did.
Yeah. There's going to be a 7 a.m. group and then a 1 p.m. group, which is not originally how Rise was. Rise used to be 7 a.m.
Right.
And if you missed it, try again tomorrow. But it is how Rise works now. And so they'll have a 7 and a 1. And then for guests who are at a deluxe resort.
Or select other hotels.
Any hotel that costs more than $400 a night, you'll get to try again at 6 p.m., which is new. I don't believe they've done that before. So they haven't done this before, but they have started doing things that, like, perks that only apply to guests in deluxe resorts. So I guess this is just a furthering of that. But yeah, I mean, the 7 and 1 was, you know, a sure thing, but this 6 p.m. for deluxe resort guests, I guess I don't really care about that. It sucks that it's only for them, though. You know, it's a further rift between what we got and what we get now.
Well, if anybody's wondering, you know, like, what's this whole extended evening thing? If you remember this thing, it used to be called Extra Magic Hours and used to be included for everybody. And then they started doing these things, but they said, we're not getting rid of Extra Magic Hours. That's going to keep being a thing. Yeah. I mean, it's still a thing, but yes.
Brad, do you have, speaking of Extra Magic Hours, do you have a Sirius satellite radio?
I do not.
Disney Classics, which plays a ton of, obviously, Disney Classics, but also a ton of park music. Like, they play Grim Grinning Ghosts all the time and the Soarin' soundtrack. It's very cool.
Don't try to sell me on Sirius XM on our podcast.
They do a thing where they let people call in and kind of DJ an hour, and they call it Extra Magic Hour. And that's the segment. So, like, when Claire and I were driving in the car yesterday, I kept hearing, "Thanks for listening to Extra Magic Hour." And I was like, don't use that term. That's hurtful. That really makes me, that hurts my feelings that you're saying that and I have to hear Extra Magic Hour.
Then you remember the thing that you don't get anymore.
Yeah.
Why have you not DJ'd an Extra Magic Hour yet? That's what I really want.
Yeah,
to
I don't know.
Because
they don't want it, because I would say play, nothing but park music. Play the Epcot Future World loop, please. Inventions West bathrooms.
and this one track will take the entire hour. Yeah. By the way, you'll have to cut it off.
Do you have the bathroom mix of One Little Spark?
The other select hotels are the Swan, the Dolphin, the Swan Reserve, and Shades of Green. Which, great that it's Shades of Green, but I mean, other than that, like, that's non-Disney deluxe hotels is what that is. So, you know, and those times will be taking place at Magic Kingdom and Epcot, alternating throughout the summer. And yes, this says, you know, this has already been going on, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the extra hours.
Yeah, the extended evening theme park hours, because we don't want to call them extra magic hours, because then people get upset.
That's been going on for a while.
Right. So that's the thing, and the Guardians. So it is interesting, and I think it was this way as well with Rise, where the 7 a.m., you book it from wherever for Guardians. The 1 p.m., you have to be inside the park to get that second virtual queue.
Yep.
But then the 6 p.m. will again be like the 7 a.m. where you don't have to be in Epcot when you're booking. The only thing that you will need is a ticket, and you'll either need to be, you know, in Epcot or you'll need a park hopper.
I have not considered this until just now, and you can't book the 1 p.m. unless you picked Epcot as your park for the day.
Correct.
Because you can't park hop until 2. So 1 o'clock means that you have to really commit to Epcot.
Yep.
Every day you want to try to ride this.
Exactly. Yeah, you're going to have to... You can't get a park hopper and go, well, we're gonna spend the first half of our day at Magic Kingdom, and then we'll run over to... Or, you know, Hollywood Studios, and then run over to Epcot, see if we get in or not, and then come back to Hollywood Studios if we don't or something. Mm. No, you've at least got to... Well, but at the same time, you have to commit the first half of your day to Epcot if you've got a park hopper. Because at 2 p.m., you could hop somewhere else.
Right. Right. But, yeah, if you want to try to ride Cosmic Rewind, you have to use your park reservation.
Your reservation.
Yeah, for that day.
Yep.
Huh. Yep. Okay. Yep. I guess I'd never really thought about that, but yeah, they're being kind of sneaky there.
So, spoiler alert, Epcot park reservations are going to start being harder to get for a while as people realize, you know, that this is the way that it works, because why wouldn't you just go ahead and get the Epcot park reservation for every day until you get to ride Cosmic Rewind? And, you know, hopefully you get it on the first day, but as we saw with Rise, that's not a guarantee. Now, hopefully this attraction will be much more dependable than Rise was, but I don't know.
So I have a thought on that. Are you familiar, because I don't want to spoil anything for you, are you familiar with the ride vehicle for Cosmic Rewind?
And the special thing that it does?
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
So, the only thing, because otherwise it's just a regular roller coaster. So the only thing that I can think of that would make that a less reliable attraction is that the car, when you start off, is going to have to be in a certain, and I don't know anything about the actual ride, but if it's rotating and... what am I trying to say? When you get on and the ride starts, the car is going to have to be locked in some orientation. Right. And I assume that, like Tower of Terror, how if it's, you know, a millimeter off the mark, the attraction's not going to start. Because Tower is notoriously finicky about the fourth dimension scene. And so that's the only thing that I can think of that would cause trouble, is the fact that you have that extra dimension of movement in the car, and maybe, you know, it takes them a while to figure out how to get that thing to line up perfectly every time.
I mean, in theory, but I'm just going to choose to believe that they have found a way to make this much more.
They probably have.
Like there are much fewer moving parts involved in this, and I mean,
well, and Rise Again is four bespoke attractions just crammed together into one big, you know, mega attraction. So I would assume this is going to be more reliable.
Right. And also it's worth noting that Disney is, I mean, not that they are the ones to build their own stuff for a lot of things, but this is Vekoma that's doing it, which is, you know, like a very well-known coaster vehicle manufacturer. So
I think Vekoma did Rock and Roller Coaster.
And Vekoma, you know, this is not their first rodeo by any stretch. You know, they did Tron, right? So those motorbikes, like that's a Vekoma coaster as well.
So yeah, apparently Disney has a relationship with Vekoma, and it's going well.
Yeah. So I'm cautiously optimistic about that. And I think that Disney is as well by putting in, you know, that they're going to do this 6 p.m. one for extended evening hours. That could, okay.
Because you're going to tick off the worst people to tick off if the 6 o'clock, like if you're not through all of the groups before 6.
Okay, but here's the thing. That 6 o'clock is when it opens, okay? But it opens for the extended hours, which start at 9, which is Epcot's closing time. So 9 to 11 is the extended evening hours for Epcot.
Oh, okay.
Right?
So it opens at 6. Reserving at 6 for 9
right,
p.m.
For things that are likely to open at 9 p.m. is kind
gotcha.
Of what their thought is.
Okay.
But this brings up a really interesting thing that I will be intrigued to see how Disney will handle. And that is, what happens if there is some issue and, you know, you're in group 89, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're at 87 at like 9 p.m. Are they going to then close the attraction? You know, because
you're
like,
out of
your
there.
Time hasn't come yet.
Yeah,
and
sorry.
The park is open for 2 more hours, and then they're suddenly going to, you know, so are they going to say 87, now boarding 100? Because 100 is where they started the extended hour people?
I would think so. I would bet you if you're in the line at 9 and you have not ridden yet, you get a pass to come back first thing in the morning.
Well, if you're in the line, you typically get to ride.
Well, no. I'm sorry. If you're in the queue and you haven't been called yet, you like get an automatic you're in group
if you're in the boarding group queue.
Yeah.
Like your boarding group hasn't been called yet.
If you're in the virtual queue and it's 9 o'clock, you just get an automatic come back tomorrow first thing.
Yeah. I don't know, but... like that could screw up.
It would definitely screw up because then you have to reserve Epcot again if you don't have it. Like
right,
it sucks. But
this whole thing is going to be really interesting. Yeah. Like having that happening with this attraction, I don't know. That's going to be interesting. I hope that it goes really smooth. I hope that everything works really well. But that just. That has the potential to get really spicy.
It's going to ruffle some feathers, man.
Really fast. But, oh, man, yeah. Anyway, Guardians.
You're messing, at that point, you're messing with the, do you know how much I paid for this crowd?
Right, right. Well, you're messing with your commoners, right?
Yeah.
Because your commoners are the ones who got pushed, but you can't push the, do you know how much I paid for this crowd for the sake of the commoner either, because you created this weird dichotomy, Disney. Good job. Way to go. Great. And I mean, like, I know that they have to handle those sort of situations, you know, the closing of the park to normal people, quote unquote normal people, you know, with armbands and things like that. Like, they're not new to this, because, again, extra magic hours was a thing for a long time. But with a brand new attraction and having boarding groups or virtual queue, because we don't call it boarding groups, it adds something to it, I think. So I don't know. I'm going to be interested to see how this goes. But anyway, we have the fact that there is no standby. And then we also have that eventually, Guardians will be an individual Lightning Lane attraction from day one.
Yes.
And do you think that it's going to, so on May 27th, do you think it's going to be a $15 attraction, or do you think that they're about to blow the top off of, because this is going to be the first attraction that has opened individual Lightning Lane?
I think
it'll
be $15. I don't think there's any reason to make Guardians cost more than Rise. And Rise is 15.
How about the reason that it's brand new and people will pay 20 and you will sell out of individual Lightning Lane slots just as fast either way?
Yeah, I don't know.
I sure hope that it's 15, because I think 15 is supposed to be the cap, but I don't know, dude.
Yeah.
It could get interesting.
Yeah, I don't know, but... Yeah, that would be a bad look.
Oh, 100% it would be, but...
To come out and say, yeah, we got this new thing. The cap's 20 now. I've altered the deal. Pray I don't alter it further. That's some Darth Vader stuff, man.
Would you... Are you going to try to now argue that Genie Plus and individual Lightning Lane isn't already a bit of a... Like, for people who are used to the FastPass Plus world,
it was already
a bad look.
It is a bad look, for sure.
So I don't think Disney's afraid of bad looks.
No, but I think it's an especially bad look to have this new attraction. But I guess they could spin it as like, well, it was so popular, we had to raise the price.
Right.
Too many people could afford 15, so now it's 100.
We had to help you out.
Yeah.
By taking more of your money.
It's $400 now to ride Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. So essentially from the 27th through the 30th, Remy and Guardians are both going to be individualized, which means that Epcot for 4 days, I guess, will be the only Disney park to have two individual Lightning Lane attractions.
Hmm.
Right? Because the 31st, basically, Remy's will be downgraded to just a standard Genie Plus and leave Guardians as the only individual Lightning Lane up until August 7th, which, if everyone remembers, is the return of two Lightning Lanes per park. But currently, the way that it stands, Epcot would have three Lightning Lanes with Frozen, Remy's, and Guardians all showing up as individual Lightning Lane, which...
The most unlikely park.
Right? I don't see that sticking.
Yeah, I mean, it personally does seem like they now, you know, in hindsight, they did all this so that Epcot would be in the spotlight, maybe? Kind of keep Epcot on everybody's mind as, like, this park's got two, and it's got this brand new attraction, and then there's less competition, maybe, for... individual Lightning Lane, and more people are going to come try to pay for it. I don't know. It seems like maybe this was a strategic move for Epcot to maybe get a little more of the shine.
I guess I could see that, but I don't know. I just feel like a lot of the change. In fact, the change that we're going to talk about next makes me wonder if. Disney has the ability to strategically plan a lot of things right now. Spoiler alert. But I don't know. So here's my thought. Every park has two Lightning Lanes that was dropped down to one. You know, as the summer rolled around, they downgraded one attraction from each park to Genie Plus, right? So that there was only one individual Lightning Lane. I'm wondering, will one of the three, you know, basically of Frozen Ever After and Remy's Ratatouille, will one of those get dropped down to permanent Genie Plus on August 7th? Basically, will one of them not come back up to individual Lightning Lane? That's kind of what I anticipate is going to happen.
So you think there's going to be one individual Lightning Lane per park, like, permanently?
No. So August 7th, I think that, you know, all the parks will get back their second Lightning Lane attraction, right? But remember that from May 31st to August 6th, Remy's is Genie Plus. So there is only one at Epcot. So either Frozen or Remy has to come back up to individual Lightning Lane on August 7th.
Okay, I see.
And I'm trying to figure out which attraction, because I don't think they're both going to come back up to individual Lightning Lane.
No,
honestly.
I don't think Epcot doesn't get three.
Right. So I guess my question is, which one of those two do you think comes back up?
Remy.
You think so?
It's got to be. Frozen's still super popular, but if they're using Genie or individual Lightning Lane for any sort of marketing purpose as well, they want to push Remy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair.
If you think about just the proximity of Frozen versus Remy to the main gate of Epcot, not mm-hmm. the World Showcase entrance, but the main gate. Remy is so much farther away in France that I think there's a chance for the regular, you know, visitor to not even really know that that's way back there. And at least Frozen's close to the entrance to World Showcase. So I think if they're doing this for any kind of marketing as well as, you know, monetary purpose, they got to push Remy, and Frozen Ever After gets knocked down to Genie Plus.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like because Remy's is the newer attraction, that's what we'll see. But there's another part of me that says we'll see, and it will be based on what the Genie Plus usage and the wait times look like from May 31st to August 6th.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess if Remy averages less of a time than Frozen does, I guess it doesn't make sense to bring it back up, because Frozen is very popular.
Right. And has staying power, because your kids are going to want to go do the Frozen attraction, probably more so than they're going to want to go do Remy.
Then they want to board the rat. See, that was a callback to the last one.
So yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see what happens there. But I think that could be interesting. But of course, you know, Guardians will definitely be the Lightning Lane, and we'll cross our fingers it's the $15 Lightning Lane, and that sounds really weird to say, crossing my fingers that something's only $15.
This is the genius of it, though. You, Brad, who was staunchly against Genie Plus and individual Lightning Lane,
just hoped
that it would be $15.
don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. Not was staunch. Is currently staunchly against.
Sorry.
Genie Plus
bad,
and individual Lightning Lane. So, yeah. No, Brad hasn't moved the goalposts here. Disney's trying really hard to make me move them, but I ain't moving those goalposts. I want it to be zero. I just know that there is no way that part's going to happen. So, of the remaining options, the sad part is I have to hope that it's just 15.
You're right. So, what, Brad, since you teased our next topic, why don't you go ahead and take it away?
Okay. The brilliance that is Genie Plus. Sorry, that's really the wrong way to take that, isn't it? I will try to not editorialize and just say Genie Plus will no longer be available for pre-sale starting on June 8th and will instead be only purchasable day of and will be, quote unquote, subject to availability.
So I think that there could be no greater confirmation that my thought that this is table stakes now is exactly what happened. Everybody is just buying this. Whether they use it or not, whether they want it or not, they're either seeing it online, their travel agent's telling them, like, just get it. You know, and everybody's getting this. Disney is selling way more Genie Plus you know, $15 per person per day things than they thought they would. And now they're having to backtrack and go, well, now this is just a by the day thing. You know, no more pre-purchasing.
No more pre-purchase. Okay. No more pre-purchasing for the commoner. You're laughing. You realize that extended evening hours is a extra benefit for deluxe and deluxe villa and select Disney resort hotels, correct?
Yeah.
How long until advance access to Genie Plus also becomes like not a dis? Dude, you remember there was a time when we were talking about would they discount it?
Yeah.
For property, like it's going to be a thing where you will hope that and honestly, if you are Disney and you want to show people that staying on property gives you some benefit, maybe they say you can buy it 5 days out or something like that.
Well,
if you're staying on property,
but,
and 10 days out if you're a deluxe or deluxe villa. But honestly, if they give it early to anybody, I really expect it to only be deluxe and deluxe villa.
To paraphrase you, what benefit does getting Genie Plus early even get you at this point? I think if they're going to offer it early, they have to change what Genie Plus actually offers you.
Subject to availability.
So that being you can be the only one who has it?
Because I think that the word subject to availability means we are going to start having to cut down because we've realized that we're getting too many complaints because of lack of availability for Genie Plus, and you are going to start seeing days where Genie Plus is not going to be available for purchase after a certain time. And if it is a particularly busy day, that time could come way earlier than what you would want it to come, which is going to be like ridiculous, I think. But that would then give a benefit to buying ahead, because I agree with that statement, but then the other side of that statement is, if there is no benefit to having it early, what does it hurt to sell it early?
Well, yeah, but then how do you sell it early? That's what I'm wondering. What benefit?
The same way they've already been doing it.
Well, but so I bought it early, but it's because like might as well, you know,
right?
But it's not exclusive. It was a impulse, you know, might as well kind of purchase because it's just available all the time, and why not go ahead and just do it early? If you're saying the commoner can't buy this early, but we're offering it to you, deluxe resort guest, you've got to sell it to me at that point. And it needs
because it may sell out.
Well, yeah, I think
you have first dibs. There are a limited number of Genie Plus available for any given day, and you are being given a special opportunity to be one of the first to buy Genie Plus before it is available to the general public. That's all you got to say.
Okay. Well, yeah, and I agree with you. I think that that's what they're going to say, but I didn't know if you, you know, had any other insight into what they might say. But that's all they got, then.
Yeah. I think that's all that they need at this point, right?
Okay.
Because if it's become table stakes and they're going to start limiting the availability of it, which I mean, it sure sounds like they are, because if they're not planning on limiting availability, why are they taking away the pre-purchase?
Well,
right,
why
why would you take away an opportunity to just go ahead and put money in your pocket from people that maybe weren't going to buy it
Day of? Because if you offer it as a pre-purchase and too many people buy it, what's happening now happens.
Right.
You have to start telling people, like, make sure the attractions you want to ride are available before you buy this, which that's why I said this is a bad look. It's bad to have to tell people, like, you really ought to hedge on this thing that we want to sell you and make sure you want it. That sucks. And so it really just feels like that might be what they're trying to avoid by making it to where people have to buy it day of. You're limiting the number of people who are going to purchase it, because a lot of people are going to forget about it. They're going to book their trip 6 months in advance, and then the day of, they're going to forget about it. And maybe it's 1 or 2 days of their trip that they forget, but those 1 or 2 days are days that other people got that slot, that spot in there. And that makes it better for everyone. And it makes Disney not have to put those warnings in the app that says, hey, really make sure you want to do this before you spend your money. Now, whether or not, like you're saying, they take that and spin it into a marketing thing for deluxe resort guests, I don't know. But I think that there's enough in just the benefit of not having to hedge, like, to warn people before they spend money. I think that's enough to warrant this change.
But what happens when it goes from warning people and all of that stuff to the person forgot about it until they go get in line at Space Mountain and it's a 3-hour standby wait, and they go, oh, there's that Lightning Lane thing, and they go to open their app because they're like, well, I want Genie Plus because I don't want to wait in 3-hour line, and it says, sorry, Genie Plus is exhausted for the day, or, you know, whatever terminology you want to use.
But at that point it's the guest's fault. And this is me playing devil's advocate.
Yeah. I know.
At that point, it's the guest's fault for forgetting. And I think that's an easy way to... And even if they go to guest services, what do? You give them the next day for free. You know, whatever. But at that point, they forgot to do it in the morning. And when they checked, it was sold out. Sorry. You know, here's a 50% off for the next day, or here's the next day, your next day's Genie is free. Whatever. Like, that's an easy make good on something that's their fault. Whereas if they bought it early, like, if me who purchased it for my wife and I early, if I get to the park and there's just no availability because they oversold Genie Plus while I'm there, that makes me mad or whatever in a way that they can't just say, well, have tomorrow for free, or you know, at that point the make good becomes less connected to the problem. Where, like, if you bought it the day of and you get the next day for free as like a, you know, sorry, or if I guess if you tried to buy it the day of and it wasn't available, but like, I already have it for the 7 days of park tickets I own. I already have it. So they can't give me a day for free. They can give me like a voucher, I guess, or a gift card or something. But that's not them saying, you had a problem with Genie Plus, here is free Genie Plus, because I've already purchased it. And I think psychologically, the make good for that, where you can say like, yeah, sorry you couldn't get it today, we're going to comp tomorrow. You already have it for tomorrow. You know, that is a really good way to take a problem that somebody had and apply a very specific, very targeted solution to that problem that registers as, okay, yeah, I feel better about this. I had to, you know, couldn't do Space Mountain today. Tomorrow I'm in Hollywood Studios. I'll come back over to Magic Kingdom, you know, at 3 or 4 or whatever, and I'll do Space Mountain Genie Plus. Great. You know, that is a solution that makes sense. And I think being able to resolve it with the being able to resolve the problem with the product that made the problem is meaningful. And they can't do that for me. If I have a problem with Genie Plus, the best they can do is offer me, I guess, a refund on it for that day or a gift card or something. But I think there's a psychological difference in that. In the here's $15 instead of here's the thing that you needed today for free tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess though then the only issue there becomes we're assuming they're not going to oversell it when they're doing it day of. And that's a pretty big assumption.
I am assuming a fundamental change in Genie Plus sales with this.
And hopefully that does happen, given that this is the issue they appear to need to fix. But
yeah, this has been a real issue for a while now.
Yeah, I don't know. This whole thing just, again, as we were talking earlier, you know, we talk about strategic planning, and maybe you know what? Genie Plus was strategically planned. I'm not going to pretend like it wasn't. There was a lot of discussion. There were focus groups. There was so much that was probably put into this. But geez, they have whiffed hard on this whole thing. And
well, honestly, it really seems like they thought about it the way you did, where it was like, yeah, the people who want this will get it. And I don't think there was anybody high up that thought about it the way that I did, saying that it was going to be table stakes, because it really seems like they've been overwhelmed by the amount of people that have purchased Genie Plus and used it. And I'm not saying that the way you thought about it was wrong or anything, but
no.
I think fundamentally the way that you and I looked at that was different. And if they're going into it thinking about it like only a certain few really diehard people are going to even buy this, and then everybody buys it, it doesn't scale. It doesn't scale the way that they need it to.
Right. Basically, you really, really, really underestimated this, and now you're going to have to try to put the genie back in the bottle. Oh, I love
pun
it when it comes together like that.
Almost certainly intended,
100%. Well, this episode has gone on a little bit long, so we'll just quickly hit on the third thing just because I do want to get it out there. I did not get my son's haircut done, and yet they still announced that Harmony Barbershop would finally reopen. So, it didn't require the sacrifice of my son's hair, which I do appreciate, Disney, because I was starting to really think that that's what they expected. But Harmony Barbershop will be reopening July 31st. They will begin taking reservations on June 28th. And Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique scheduled to open sometime in the future, which was weird to me because I figured Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique would open before Harmony Barbershop would.
Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique is definitely the higher profile thing. It seems like if resources are a problem, that Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique would get all of the resources and Harmony Barbershop would open whenever possible.
Yep. But I don't know. It is what it is. Harmony Barbershop is reopening. I am planning my 2-day trip to Disney now.
I was just about to ask you when. So August 1st, you'll be there.
Well, it depends. June 28th is when reservations open. And yes, I am being 100% serious. I will be getting a reservation for my child to get their first haircut at Disney. And we will drive to Orlando and back for literally a 1-day trip to Walt Disney World. That is our plan, because we don't want to take a vacation at Walt Disney World in July/August. It is miserable to be at Walt Disney, and the crowds are going to be insane. But my wife is a saint.
My wife.
And I really want to have my son's first haircut at Disney. And so she is willing to put up with the madness that is me and do all of this stuff, which involves a 15-hour drive each way and all of the fun that comes with that. So
in this economy?
Right, exactly. with gas prices being what they are. Jeremy, I need you to get an electric vehicle before then so that I can borrow it. And it needs to have a lot of storage space. So
I appreciate that you really are relying on me to make the huge capital investment in that.
I mean, it seems like it's about time for you to get a new vehicle. I just anticipated that it was going to happen. But yes, I am. Oh, gosh. I am going to see what's available on June 28th because I am a madman. But yay, Harmony Barbershop is coming back. More Normal is returning.
I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.